First Corinthians chapter number 13, if you turn there with me. First Corinthians and chapter number 13. Again, we're looking at this book, a little review as we're coming to the conclusion of it. We started out in chapter number 1 with the delivery to the church in chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Then we looked at the fact that there were divisions in the church, chapter 1, verses starting verse 9 all the way to chapter number 4, divisions in the church. And then we saw in chapter 5 and 6, Paul addressed discipline in the church in chapters 5 and 6. And that brings us to where we've been, as Paul's covering some difficulties in the church. In chapter 7 all the way to chapter number 14, we saw, first of all, he covered some difficulties in their personal walk in chapter 7 all the way to the beginning of chapter number 11. And then in their public worship in chapter number 11 and verse 2 and all the way to chapter 14, so that will take us. We looked at in chapter number 11, Paul talks about the gift of the Lord's Supper. And then in chapters 12 through 14, where we are now, he's talking about the gifts of the Lord's servants and the different gifts that God blesses people with and how to use them and where to use them. We looked at the fact that there was confusion in the church about these gifts in chapter number 12. He gave some information about the gifts, and then the identification of where the gifts were to be used. And then we ended up last week talking about the important gifts at the end of chapter number 12. And then that brings us to chapter number 13. Paul looked at the confusion about the gifts, and now he's going to talk about the correction and how these gifts are to be properly used and what is necessary in using these gifts. Now, if there's a message that we as Cazado Baptist Temple need to listen to tonight, it's this message. And I'll tell you why. When it came to gifts, the Corinthian church, they were one of the best. Look back real quick in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Look at this with me real quick. And we'll go right back. But in chapter number 1 and in verse number 4, remember when we started, Paul said, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you." Look at verse 7. "So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." When it came to gifts, the Corinthian church was behind nobody. I mean, that was Paul's word. And when it came, you know, they were at the front of the line when it came to a church blessed by God with so many people with so many different gifts. And Paul said, you know, I put you behind no one. That's what Paul said. And I look at you tonight and say, I thank the Lord for our church. I put this church behind no one. No other church. I mean, this is my favorite church in the world. If you're a member here, you ought to say the same thing, right? You know, and I understand, you know, there's some great churches out there, and praise the Lord for every one of them. You know, but the fact is this, we're very blessed at our church. We have a lot of people with a lot of different gifts at our church. I mean, so many different, I mean, just in about every different way that you can imagine, every gift that's mentioned in the epistles, you're going to, praise the Lord, you see it in action at our church. You know, be it whatever it may be, you know, God has really blessed our church. But if there's one thing that we have to be careful about is this, is having all these gifts, but forgetting the important thing, which is love. You see, without love, the rest really doesn't matter. Without love, all we're doing is making noise. I mean, we can give, you know, thousands. But if we don't do it in love, Paul said, sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. We can have gifts of teaching, and we do. Music, we do. We have all sorts of gifts. Without love, It is nothing, Paul said. Let that sink in. Nothing. We'll read it in just a second. So I love the lost. That's great. But these gifts that are being used within the church are not directed towards the lost. The giving, the comforting, the administration. I mean, we come together as a church, praise the Lord when a lost person comes, but primarily, the church, without a doubt, is made up of saved people. You can't be a member of a church unless you're a believer and you're baptized. So these gifts that are given to the church are for believers. Now stay with me tonight. Which means we can have all these gifts in the world, but if we don't love each other, it's nothing. I've heard a lot of, probably over 100 sermons on Revelation about the warning of losing your first love. And I've heard a lot of different, you know, ideas of what that is, but I think this is a big part of it too. Because what is the great commandment? To love the Lord God and to love your neighbor. And we got to be really careful. Because there's a difference between tolerating each other and loving each other. Between being kind to one another and loving each other. And without hesitation, God commanded us to love each other. And I want to encourage you as we look at this chapter, at least the first part of it tonight, to really answer this question: do I love my brothers and sisters in this church? And if you can't say it with a resounding yes after listening to that, don't just say, well, of course I love everybody, right? Well, we're going to look at what love is tonight. And if we don't line up with what love is in this chapter, then we really don't love the way Christ wants us to. This church at Corinth had the gifts, man. They had teachers, they had prophets, they had those who understood tongues, they had healings, they had administration and governments, and they had giving, they had comfort. I mean, Paul said, you're behind no one. And Paul knew about every church. You know, he knew them all. I mean, there was quite a few, but he had a big part in the majority of them. And he said, at all these churches, including Jerusalem, including that church that was booming in Antioch, he said, church at Corinth, you are behind none of them in gifts. But look at chapter 13 and verse number 1. Let's stand if you're able to as you read our scriptures. Paul's been talking about these gifts. Look with me in verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Just noise. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. God, I pray that, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts tonight. I pray that, Lord, the Spirit of God would teach us a very important lesson. God, you gave me this message earlier this week, and Lord, it's been heavy on my heart all week. We need this message tonight. God, help us to be humble tonight and listen. It's been a busy day. It's hot. It's draining. God, I pray that, Lord, we would draw our thoughts in tonight and listen to the Word of God. That, God, you'd help us tonight as a church. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. Paul shows this ingredient that is necessary when it comes to gifts. Now, I want you to see this with me. They lacked charity. Charity, this love, this agape love, if you will, this true, deep love. This is something, this is not just not even beyond a brotherly love. This is a heart-driven, consumed love. And I want you to see, I don't know how far we'll get tonight, but look at number one, the need for love in verses 1 through 3. The need for love. He's going to talk about some problems here when it comes to charity and love. All right? And the problems are this. Number one, or A, if you're guessing, taking notes, they can possess the great gifts without love. They can possess the great gifts without love. Verse 1 and 2, you'll see the gifts of communication mentioned in verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You see, he talks about how we can speak with different tongues here in this verse. Again, the church at Corinth had made tongue speaking the primary thing. It was kind of like the apex of spirituality for the church at Corinth when Paul, when he listed in chapter 12, put it at the bottom of the list. But Paul basically is saying this, and he uses now tongues as example number one, saying you can talk in every language that you want to. You can be fluent in every language out there. You can even, as he says, speak there with the tongues of men and angels. Now, I don't think that there is a different... I have no idea. If the angels speak a different language than anything on this earth, I have no idea. But I think Paul's talking that even if you knew their language, right? Even if you could speak on that level, so what? So what if you don't have love? If you don't know what it is to love, I've said this many times at our church before in other ways, but if someone doesn't think you care, then they could care less what you say. And he said you can speak in whatever language that you want to, but if you don't have love behind this, if you don't have your heart behind this, all it is noise. It's a sounding brass, a tinkling cymbal. You can speak in different tongues. You can see divine truth in verse number 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy. Again, we talked about it last week that there are those who would stand and speak the truth being directed by the Spirit of God. You can stand up tonight. You can preach the Bible. You can say all the right words. I can get up tonight and preach what thus saith the Lord. I can show you what the Scripture says. I can have unbelievable oratory skills. But if I don't have love, it's noise. Men can get up and prophesy and say some amazing things, but if there's not love there, matter of fact, the Gospels talk about it, there will be many who will stand someday before the Lord and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? The Lord said, I never knew you. You see, just because you're saying the right things, Just because you can get up in front of your Sunday school class, junior church, the teens, the young married, the singles, the adult class, you can get up in front of whatever ministry, the bus, whatever you may be doing, nursing home, you can get up in front of, you know, a group of other Bible believers, but the fact is this, if you don't do it out of a heart of love, if you don't do it because you care about the person that's next to you, Paul's words, you're nothing. It's nothing. You can get up and teach one of the greatest, you know, show some big fancy words, hermeneutics and exegesis, right? You can show some unbelievable, you know, talent in breaking down the Word of God, and that's wonderful, great. But if you're criticizing and talking bad about the other people in the church and constantly tearing them down, or there's certain people in this auditorium or on these rows that you can't stand, that you roll your eyes and you talk bad about them and you can't get along with them, you are nothing. What you're saying is nothing because it isn't real. It isn't real. You see, we can speak in different languages. We can see divine truth. We can have these gifts of, these greatest gifts of communication or these gifts of comprehension. In verse number 2, it says, and understand all mysteries. You can grasp these hidden secrets. And again, there are some things that we still don't know. I mean, people have asked me some things, you know, they'll open up some things in the Bible, especially in the book of Revelation. I don't know the answer. There's some things I do not know yet, but we will understand it by and by, right? But the majority of these mysteries that were all throughout the Old Testament, they were in the process of being revealed. I mean, you have to understand, right? You know, we look back now, we have the completed Scripture. Most of these mysteries have been revealed to us, these biblical mysteries. Alright? And you say, like what? Well, you know, like in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. You're all looking at me weird. Just like this one, and then, I think you'll understand what I'm saying. Look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and in verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. We don't have time to study all the mysteries in the Bible, but you get an idea what I'm talking about. In 1 Thessalonians 4, and verse number 13, it says this, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now, he speaks in this passage of Scripture that where's that verse at? I show you a mystery. But in any case, he talks about that, you know, the rapture is described in the New Testament as being one of those mysteries, all right? That we it's something that was revealed. I mean, the rapture wasn't taught on in the Old Testament. The church is another one. Look over in Colossians. I don't have that. I have time's sake. Look over in 2 Thessalonians. We're right there. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. It says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. I'm in Timothy. Wow. None of you said nothing. Thank you. Yeah, all right. Very good. 2 Thessalonians 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together in him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, he goes on to describe the Antichrist in this passage of Scripture. Now, that was not taught in the Old Testament. You know, there may be pictures, but it was not revealed. But in the New Testament, these mysteries were being revealed. I mentioned the church is another one. There's other mysteries that were revealed throughout the prophecy and the scriptures coming together. Now, Paul goes back in our text now. He says, and you can understand all mysteries. You can know all these things. You may have every one of them nailed down. I got news for you. We don't have them all nailed down yet, right? There are still things yet to come that we can't fully describe. But the fact is this. You can have great understanding. You can grasp these hidden secrets. And in verse number 2 in our text, continuing, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, but and all knowledge, it says there. You can grasp the scriptures. You can grasp these secrets. You can grasp the scriptures. And I mean, you can know the Word of God. You may be able to get up and quote to me passage upon passage of scripture. You may be able to get up and go through the Romans Road with me tonight. You may be able to get up and quote all of the book of John. And that would be a wonderful thing. You can't go wrong hiding God's Word in your heart. But you can have all that knowledge and all that understanding, but if you don't love the person sitting across the room from you, verse 2, I'm nothing. I am nothing. You can have gifts of comprehension. You can have gifts of confidence in verse number 2. And I have all faith. You can stand up tonight and give a testimony and say, I believe in God. And the fact is this, I think we're in a room where we agree with that. Do you believe in God tonight? Amen?
Amen.
Believe in God. Do we believe the Scriptures tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Do we have faith that God is who He says He is? We believe in the local church. We believe that, you know, and in the doctrine of justification. We can know these things. And I mean, no one can deter us from it. I have faith. I know these things are true. But you don't have charity. You're nothing. You're nothing. You can have gifts of confidence. You see here, you can possess these great gifts without love. Letter B, you can possess great goodness without love. Look in verse number 3. And though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, you can have human compassion. You can give. Did you know? Now look at me. You can give without love. You can give out of obligation, guilt, or duty. You can give out of peer pressure. Some people, you know, some of those people that have, you know, these actors and movie sports and have all these millions of dollars, they'll give to these charities. They could care less. It's a tax write-off. But I don't care whether it's $1 million or a cup of water. If you're doing it without love, here's Paul's words. It profits you nothing. Nothing. You can give and give and give and give. I mean, you can pour the money out. And giving is a gift. The gift of giving is listed in these gifts in Ephesians 2. It's one of the gifts the Holy Spirit blesses people with. The want and the desire to give. But without love, it profits you nothing. You can have human compassion. You can have even a heartfelt compulsion. Look in verse number 3. It says, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, profit me nothing. You can go to a stake and die. You say, how is that possible? Well, I can give one example. A lot of extreme Islamists do that all the time. They give themselves. It's not out of love. Could a Christian do that? Well, Paul said, yeah. You could just pour yourself out for a cause, but if it isn't done in love, it profits you nothing. say, how it, what's it mean? Because, you know, I don't know. We always read the stories that people wanted us to remember, right, of martyrs. But just in my 42-plus years of existence, right, I've seen Christians do things without a heart of love. I've been guilty, and probably, don't tell anybody, but you have been guilty too. I've been with a person before I ever came to this church, an adult man that was visiting. He knocked on a door, and the guy, he tried to witness to him. The guy said, "I don't want to hear this junk. That's a bunch of junk. None of it's true. It's a bunch of lies," he said. And he said, "Get off my porch." And that guy I was with said, "Fine, go to hell." And he walked off. The guy slammed the door. That guy, was he doing the right thing witnessing? Yes. Wasn't out of love. And so, just knowing people and knowing me, we always read the stories about those who looked up to heaven and, you know, the martyr stories that they've left for us, right? But let's be honest, there were probably some who were tied and said, "I hate you all." We're human. So I haven't read those stories. Man, those aren't stories you write down. There were probably those who hated the people that were persecuting them. And I'm not casting stones at them. A bunch of men grabbed my kids and beat their heads against rocks. Put yourself in those shoes. Put yourself in those shoes. Paul said you can give yourself to be burned, but you have not charity. You remember in the book of Acts when they took Stephen, and Stephen got up and he preached a message, and they hated his message. Remember that? They hated what he said. And they gathered all their stuff together, took him outside the city, cast all their coats at the feet of Saul, and then they took up stones and they began to stone him and kill him, put him to death. But you remember what he said? He looked up to heaven. He saw the Son of God stand up. Isn't that awesome? That's one of my favorite scriptures. Because the Lord's always sitting at the right hand, but something got the Lord to stand up, man. But in any case, the Lord stands up and he says, "Forgive them. Forgive them." How could he say that as they were throwing stones and crushing his skull? He loved them. And by the way, a young man sitting there never forgot it. Saul never forgot what he witnessed that day. What spoke to Saul? Love. 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 You say, "Preacher, no one's fighting." I didn't say that. Paul didn't. He talked about divisions previously. This isn't about fighting. This isn't about people meeting in the parking lot and putting fists up. It's not what it is. Everybody in this auditorium knows how to get along. That is not the question at hand. Do you love the people around you? So I'm a giver. I ride the bus. It was hot today. It was miserably hot on the bus today, right? Say, "Hey, look what all I do." Without love, it profits nothing. You see the need for love. In verses 4 through 8, we see the nature of love. The nature of love. Now, before we answer the question, we have to look at, Paul says, all right, now if you don't have love, nothing. So now Paul's going to say, let me tell you what love is. Before you answer the question, of course I love people, let me tell you what love is. Ready? First of all, you see love's chief concern in verse number 4. Charity suffereth long. There were number one, there will be Christ-like in suffering. Charity suffereth long. What does that word suffereth long mean? It means be patient, self-restraining, not in a hurry to retaliate or punish. You're patient. Answer the question in your heart. I'm not asking if you'll stand up and say, "I love my church." I think we all do. But I mean, do you really have this charity in your heart towards each other? Are you patient with each other? Are you willing to restrain yourself? You remember David whenever King Saul was trying to kill him? Again, it's a great passage of Scripture. King Saul takes a nap in a cave. Who's in the cave? David, right? David could have killed him. And humanly speaking, he had the right, he was defending himself, right? But he didn't. He showed restraint. He was willing to go on. He said, but so-and-so in the church don't like me. Right? Yeah. I hear you. Maybe they don't. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't love them. You see, charity is suffereth long, it's patient, it's self-restraining. Number two, is the chief concern, it is Christ-like in its sympathy. Verse number four, and is kind. Suffereth long is the attitude, kind is the action. I go back to David. David could have killed Saul, but he didn't, because he respected and honored him and he showed him love. But then after King Saul died, remember what David did? He said, is there anyone left in that family? If there's anyone left in that family, what do you do? Bring him here. Sit him at my table. I'm going to take care of him. And Mephibosheth was brought in. Beautiful story. What was David doing? He was kind. He was showing love. I'm not asking us tonight, are we not arguing and fighting? It's how you feel in your heart. See, I can't answer this question for anybody except me. On the outside, we're all doing fine. Gift-wise, I put us behind none. But how about love? Do you find yourself impatient with everybody around you or those who don't like you? Do you have a hard time showing kindness to people that haven't been kind to you? Then you can have all the gifts in the world, but it's nothing. You see, love's chief concern, and you see love's charming contentment. Again, in verse number 4, we left off. Suffereth long and is kind, semicolon, charity envieth not. It's never envious. This is real love. It's never envious. In other words, you're not going to be envious. And envy and jealousy are ugly sins. If someone's given something, you're upset you didn't get it. You feel like you're almost in a competition with people. If someone does better than you, are you fine with that? If someone's better at something than you are, does that upset you? If someone would dare give you some counsel, does that drive you up a wall? I mean, the Scripture says in the multitude of counsel, there's safety. And the fact is this, that if we feel like all the time that we're always going to lose our position or someone is challenging us, that's not love. Because love envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's never envious. It's never egotistical. It's not pushy. It vaunteth not itself. In other words, it doesn't have to parade itself in its superiority. It doesn't have to brag about itself or boast off or show off. It doesn't need the attention and doesn't need to impress anybody. Love is not pushy. Love is not puffed up. Verse number 4, is not puffed up. If you think that you're more important than what you are, then there's some love missing in your life. And again, I'm not preaching. I don't know anybody's heart. If I ever start to think, I'll use Travis Burke as an example. If Travis Burke starts to think that he is something more than what he is, I'm heading towards destruction. If I start to look at other pastors and become jealous and envious, or preachers, or someone that would get up and preach, even within the church, and hear people say, I'm just telling you, this is how the devil works, right? You preach, you know, four sermons and no one comes forward, no amens. Then someone gets up and preaches a sermon and the altars are full and the devil says, you're a waste. Now, that kind of stuff the devil does in your mind, all right? The devil tries to do those things, right? You know what that is? Puffing up. Envious. I need to ask God to give me the right love again. It's not puffed up. I read this quote this week. I thought it was great. Love comes out of the shade to do kindness and then returns to the shade again. Love comes out of the shade to do a kind act and then goes back to the shade again. You see, you don't need all the attention. It's never egotistical. It's never eccentric. In verse number 5, doth not behave itself unseemly. In other words, good manners. Love knows how to behave itself. Be it at a wedding, a funeral, a church fellowship, an activity, just sitting in the pew next to someone, it understands how to behave itself. It is love. Charity is never exacting. In verse number 5, doth not behave itself, seeketh not her own. It's not selfish. It's not constantly looking out for its own interest and has to have its own way. When we get to that point to where it's my way or the highway, and that is a danger, right? That's a danger. I'm just telling you, as for a pastor, that's a danger. You know, I have a great idea, man. This is a super idea. This is what we're going to do, right? You know, like something silly like camp, right? You know, I have everything planned out. I mean, down to the hours, what we're doing. And then someone walks up and says, you know, maybe it would be better if we did it this way. Well, who do you think you are, right? I have been preparing. How dare you challenge my thoughts, right? Don't look at me weird. We're all that way sometimes. And when we act that way, we're being exacting. We're seeking our own. I love the story of Abraham and Lot. Remember when they got too much stuff? They were beginning to have some conflict. What did Abraham say to do? Lot, you choose. That is what I'm talking about, where it says there, seeketh not her own. Out of a heart of love, Abraham, who had all the right for him to choose what he wanted, instead he said, Lot, you choose. That's love. Love is, charity is never enraged in verse number 5. It says, it envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. If we're quick-tempered, angry, bitter at someone else. Again, Paul's talking to the church at Corinth. Man, you can get up and speak with the tongues of angels. But if there's someone sitting in that room with you today who you just can't stand, and you, the mention of their name, you roll your eyes, you've talked about them in front of other people, you've torn them down, you won't help them, you're bitter at them, then whatever you're doing is profiting you nothing. It's not easily, it's not enraged, it's not easily provoked. When we get insulted so easily, well, you don't understand, brother so-and-so never talks to me, or sister so-and-so never has anything to say to me, why should I reach out to them? Charity. We don't understand. They told something. They said something about me to someone else. Why should I be kind to them? Charity. Never enraged. Number 6, is never evil-minded. The end of verse number 5, thinketh no evil. Verse 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity. Never evil-minded. I think in verse number 5 you see here, he warns about nursing a grudge at someone who's done something to you. If we're keeping record down in our heart somewhere, if we've got some kind of hidden book somewhere, maybe not even physical, but you know, we never forget. You don't know what that person said to me. They can smile, they can sing in the choir, they can do whatever they want to, but I'll never forget what they said about me. There are people today that are out of church that at one time were super faithful, involved in all kinds of ministries, but they forgot charity. You say, but people can be mean. They can. And no one knew that like Paul did. No one understands that more than God does. But the fact is this, if we don't have charity, if we're holding a grudge, resentment, keeping score, or in verse number 6 again, if not only we nurse a grudge at someone who's done wrong to us, or we nurture glee when something bad has happened to someone else. Verse number 6, rejoice not in iniquity. You say, well, I'm glad they had it coming. I saw, yeah, their life. Get them, God. That's not charity. Now, will God judge and God chasten? Sure. What should our attitude be? We should be heartbroken for them. No matter what they've done to us. Let's be honest, we all need a checkup here tonight. If we feast on the failure of others, we're in a bad place. I'll say that again. If we feast on the failures of others. Do you know that's a principle taught all the way back in Genesis? You remember when Jacob, when he wrestled wrestled with God all night? And remember God touched his thigh and he walked with a limp the rest of his life? Everybody with me? You remember what it says there in Genesis? That from that day on, the children of Israel did not eat. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Look at this verse. Y'all looking at me again. Weird. Look, Genesis. We'll find it. Genesis 30. Jacob's message. 32. Look at this. Genesis 32. Look at verse 31. As he passed over Peniel, Genesis 32, 31. The sun rose upon him, that's Jacob, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore, you ever thought about this? Therefore, the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. You ever thought about that? What's the point in that? Why wouldn't they eat that? Again, I'll make the statement, because they did not want to feast on the failure of someone else. It's a principle there. When we get happiness out of seeing someone that we didn't get along with, or someone that wasn't walking like we're walking, and we see them fall on their face, or God's judgment being poured out on them, or them having a hard time, and we sit back and say, yep, I knew that was coming, we're wrong. That's not love. Love, charity is never evil-minded. Back in our text, let's finish this up. We saw the nature of love, love's chief concerns, and now look at this, love's changeless convictions. In verse number 6, at the end of verse number 6, you'll see, first of all, love's focus, but rejoiceth in truth. You know what charity does? It loves truth. It loves integrity. It loves being right. Love's forbearance, verse number 7, beareth all things. I could use Stephen, I use the Lord this time, when he was on the cross, and man did his worst to the Son of God. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. When I say love's forbearance, where it says beareth all things, you will try to find a way to cover and protect. It doesn't mean that you're trying to hide wrong, right? It's not at all. What that means is this. If Brother Andy comes up and he would not do this, we have a great relationship. I love Brother Andy. Brother Andy meets me out in the parking lot, says, I hate your guts. You're the worst preacher I've ever met in my life. I can't wait till this church falls apart, because you're terrible, right? Man, that was harsh, man. Right? Yeah, right. You hurt my feelings just then, right? Yeah. Love, charity beareth all things. You know what that means? That next day, Brother Davis comes out, shakes my hand, says, "Hey, Brother, how you doing?" You know, Brother Randy gave the greatest lesson in Sunday school. And I look at him and say, he does a good job. Love beareth all things. Now there's an issue me and him need to work out. But I have a problem with love, and I say, "Dude, that Randy's a jerk, right? You won't believe what he said about me. Let me tell you, that guy, I wouldn't spit on him if he was on fire. That guy, he gets on my nerves so bad," and I start talking about that love problem. He said, "Did you not hear what he said? Charity beareth all things." It doesn't mean I'm covering up his sin. What that means is this, that I want things fixed. I don't want to cause a problem. I'm not trying to build a fire. I'm trying to put one out. When we're all the time wanting to point out everybody else's faults and failures, we all the time go around and anyone that doesn't get good up with our personality or doesn't see eye to eye with us, and there's someone in the church that we just can't stand them, and we're the first people to tell everybody else about that person, you have a love problem. You say, "But don't you understand? I'm one of your best Sunday school teachers. I drive the bus. I work in junior church. I'm always there at the nursing home. I'm always the cleaner. You need me. Everything you're doing is profiting you nothing without charity." Well, you're all quiet tonight. I told you we need this message. I haven't made up. That's all I've done is walk through these scriptures tonight. That's what the Bible says. If we have this problem tonight, we need to stop tonight. We don't need to go home and even think about these things. All we've done is look at the Word of God. We need to get right tonight. See, love's forbearance. We see in verse number 7, love's faith. It says, "Beareth all things, hopeth all things." You know, I've heard this passage preached on a lot at couples retreats, at family meetings, and it is great. It's very applicable, and that's wonderful. But in context, it's talking about using your gifts within the church. That's what it's about. And if love, charity here, beareth all things, believeth all things. You see, love's faith. While we will try to find a way to cover and protect, we're not gullible. While we're willing to give someone the benefit of the doubt. And I tell you something, that's a sign of love. And I know there's some that sit there and say, "I'm just a realist, right? That person is a jerk. I'm going to call it like it is, right? I don't trust them." I got news for you. I don't even trust myself. And if you trust yourself, you need to wake up. We are all, our hearts are desperately wicked. We better always watch. But we can't be gullible either. But I mean this, we need to believe the best in people. You know, I discussed last Sunday night, we had to make some changes on our bus. And we did. Passed out those things this past Saturday. And some didn't come back this week, and I hope they do come back. I'm going to go back and visit them again. Hope they do. We had 20 today. I mean, I was... But I will say this. It was hot. It was tiring. But it was sweet. The kids enjoyed today. You know, I was excited for them. But I don't care who gets on the bus. Be it the nicely dressed, frilly dressed with a Bible under, the little pigtails, or the one with an evil look in their eye and a word in their mouth. I know God can use both of them. Sometimes my love is challenged there. Because sometimes they get on my nerves. Because I've learned something ever since I've been back on this bus. I'm older than what I used to be. When I was 22... You know, we drove all the way to Eastgate, picked up kids. Right, Miss Dickhouse? Eastgate. That was a long drive. Not just Eastgate. We were past. We were like 125. I mean, we had a serious bus route. those kids, and I hung with them. But now I get back here, 1:45, I'm like in the fetal position. I'm just done, man. I mean, they wear me out. And they don't respond to me like they used to. They used to be like, hey, come around. Like, yes, we'll follow you anywhere you go. Now they're like, shut up, old man. And it's different. And sometimes, you know, my older man kicks in. I need to remind myself that God loves those kids. And I need to love them too. He loves faith. He loves future. Verse number 7. Hopeth all things. The word hope in the Bible means confidence. Second coming is our blessed hope. The word hope is something that you're optimistic about. You know what love is? It's optimistic. Love is never taking the role of victim. Can I tell you something? God doesn't want you to be a victim. Even in bad situations, all things work together for good. We got to trust God and follow Him, but He can. Victim, the victim thing gets on my nerves. I mean, it drives me crazy when people play the victim card. Even in the Bible, when I read it, I just want to yell at people. Like Jonah. Jonah makes me so mad. Remember when all the storm was going on? And they said, what's going on? Jonah said, it's me. I'm running from God. But you remember what he said? This drives me crazy. I just wanted somebody to look at my Bible and say, Jonah, you're an idiot, right? You're playing the victim card. Remember what he said? Throw me overboard. Excuse me, sir. If you're the problem, throw yourself overboard. Quit making someone else do that for you. No, look, they throw me over the boat. No one cares. People love to be the victim. That's not the way charity works. Charity is optimistic. It forgives, not just once. Anyone can forgive. But charity is 70 times 7. Doesn't like to acknowledge defeat. Never gives up. Hopeth all things. Verse 7, endureth all things. You see, love's fortitude. It's strong. The word right there, where it says endureth all things, it means this: to remain under the load. In other words, sometimes it gets heavy, it gets hard, and it's not easy. But love will let you keep on going. It endureth all things. And you see, love's fidelity, and we're done. Charity never faileth. Never faileth. Friends, gifts, they fail. They all do. You may have that gift of giving, but one day you won't be able to give anymore. One day you're done giving. You may be a great teacher, but one day you will not teach anymore. You may be someone who is a comforter and know how to comfort someone else, but one day you will not comfort anymore. You may be able to speak in different languages, but one day your mouth will shut. You may be able to get up and preach, but one day you won't. You may be able to use your gift at a piano, a choir, a special sound room, Sunday school class, whatever it may be, but one day you'll be done. Gifts will fail, but never love. Never love. The love that you share continues to go on. All the other stuff? So I gave out of the wrong heart. Stand before God, it profited you nothing. That's hard to say, man. I get no joy in saying that, right? Because I'm scared to death to look back at my life at the times I've done things out of had to. And I hate saying that. I hate saying that. To know there were some things I did because Dad made me. Some things I did because it was my job. Some things I did even though I didn't like the person I was doing it for. He said, "You're a pastor." I'm just being honest. If you're honest, you'd say the same thing. You know what it did? It profited me nothing. I don't want to be that way. So you know what it takes? It takes me checking on myself tonight, as I've done this week, and making sure that I can walk down this aisle and without any hesitation, saying, "I love you, Brother Fountain." And I do. I love you, Jake, Brother Davis. I love you, Brother Miss Morgan. I love you, Brother Miss Webster. I love you, Wade, Miss Dickhouse, Miss Sally. And I mean it. I truly mean it. To the best of my knowledge, and I'm not in any way, I'm just telling you, I had to do some checking up this week. I dare not get up and preach this message without having some time with God, right? But I feel with all my heart that I can walk through these pews today and tell everyone sitting in here today, "Brother Bill, I love you, brother." And I have no problem saying it. I love Brother Schwartz. I love Miss Schwartz, Miss Tammy, Lily sitting back here, Brother Huddleston, Miss Kim. To the best of my knowledge, I would do whatever I could for everyone sitting in here. But that's not something that I can say, "All right, I checked that off." Every day, I need to watch myself. So let me ask you tonight as we close. I'm not asking if you're gifted. You are. I'm not asking if you're givers. You are. I'm not asking if you're servants. You do. I'm not asking if you're got good doctrine. You do. I'm not asking if you got good standards. You do. Is there charity? And if there's charity missing in your life, I'm not asking, can you say, "I love you"? But is those things true with everybody around you? Because if it's not, let's do something about it tonight. Let's change it tonight. It starts coming to this altar tonight saying, "God, okay, I saw it. I'm wrong here, and I need to correct it." And asking God's forgiveness, which I did this week too, search my heart. But then it continues in getting up and going to somebody maybe and just saying, "I remember one time," and I'm not embarrassed with names, but I remember one time, my wife and I weren't married very long. We're standing in the pew, right where Brother Davis is, during an invitation. And somebody walked up to my wife and hugged her neck and said, "I have been upset at you in my heart, and I've had some bitterness towards you." My wife had no idea. And they hugged each other and got together at night. And there's been sweet fellowship since. So how about you? Because without charity, it's nothing. Without charity, it profiteth me nothing. Without charity, it's just noise.